Blog Talk Radio.
Back when Eisenhower was the president, golf courses is where most of his time was spent. So I never really listened to what the president said because in general I believed that the general was politically dead. But he always seemed to know when the muscles were about to be flexed, because I remember him saying something, mumbling something about a military-industrial complex. Americans no longer fight to keep their shores safe, just to keep the jobs going in the arms-making workplace. And then they pretend to be gripped by some sort of political reflex, but all they're doing is paying dues to the military-industrial complex. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They turn our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery. The military and the monetary use the media as intermediaries. They are determined to keep the citizens secondary. They make so many decisions that are arbitrary. We're marching behind the commander-in-chief, who was standing under a spotlight shaking like a leaf. But the ship of state had landed on an economic reef, so we knew he was going to bring us messages of grief. The military and the monetary were shielded by January and went storming into February. Brought us pot-bellied generals as luminaries. 2 weeks ago I hadn't heard the sumbitch, now all of a sudden he's legendary. They took the honor from the honorary, they took the dignity from the dignitary, they took the secrets from the secretary, but they left the bitch an obituary. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles away in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, had us all scrambling for our dictionaries because we couldn't understand the fucking vocabulary. Yeah, there were some smart bombs, but there were some dumb ones as well. Scared the hell out of CNN in that Baghdad hotel. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. War in the desert sometimes sure is scary, but they beamed out the war to all their subsidiaries. Tried to make so damn insane a worthy adversary, keeping the citizens secondary, scaring old folks into coronaries. The military and the monetary, from thousands of miles in a Saudi Arabian sanctuary, kept us all wondering if all of this was really truly necessary. We've got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. If we only worked for peace, if everyone believed in peace the way they say they do, we'd have peace. The only thing wrong with peace is that you can't make no money from it. The military and the monetary, they get together whenever they think it's necessary. They've turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet into a cemetery. We got to work for peace. Peace ain't coming this way. We should not allow ourselves to be misled by talk of entering a time of peace. Peace is not the absence of war. It is the absence of the rumors of war and the threats of war and the preparation for war. Peace is not the absence of war. It is a time when we will all bring ourselves closer to each other, closer to building a structure that is unique within ourselves, because we have finally come to peace within ourselves. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. Get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning parts of the planet into a cemetery. What you gonna do? Military and the monetary. Military and the monetary. What you gonna do? We hounded the Ayatollah religiously, bombed Libya, and killed Gaddafi's son hideously. We turned our back on our allies, the Panamanians, and saw Ali North selling guns to the Iranians, watched Gorbachev slaughtering Lithuanians. We better warn the armies, they may bomb the Pennsylvanians. The military and the monetary get together whenever they think it's necessary. They have turned our brothers and sisters into mercenaries. They are turning the planet to a cemetery.
They got folks out there working for war.
One, two, three, four.
Make a whole lot of money, start a little trouble, it's war. Turn this planet in the north and south, it's war. Start a few rumors over there, make money with a war.
World peace.
Say it to yourself. I believe we got the world peace.
Nobody.
Peace ain't gonna be free.
I don't
got the world
hurt
peace.
Nobody.
You believe in peace?
I really
gotta
don't
go
hurt
work.
Nobody.
They got folks out there.
Commercial, but it's a matter of fact that there are thousands of children all over the world in Asia and Africa and South America who need our help. When they start talking about 55 cents a day and 70 cents a day, I know a lot of folks feel as though that's not really any kind of contribution to make, but we have to give up a dollar and a half just to get in the subway nowadays. Song about tomorrow and about how tomorrow can be better if we all, each one reach one, each one try to teach one. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something. Everyone must play a part. Everyone got to go to work. Work for peace. Spirit say work.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us on Thursday Night's Breaking the Curse. My name is Jan Gazinski, and I'm riding shotgun with my big brother, our big brother, Brother Hest. You in the house with us right now?
Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, love and service. How you doing today, family?
Oh, I'm doing well, brother. I'm doing well. Just sitting here listening to this Work for Peace by Gil Scott Heron, man. Love every time I put that brother on, man. He's a deep, deep brother, man. Deep. You know, everybody got a responsibility. You got to work for peace.
That real, man. So tell me, man, how your day been going so far, man? What you done experienced today that can come into Break the Curse Thursday?
Man, well, today my day has been primarily focused on the financial aspect of my life and breaking that financial aspect of life and, you know, struggles or curses that we place upon ourselves. You know, I went through a dark, dark time way back when where financially I wasn't doing too well by my own decisions, and I'm building back up. So today was mainly I was just at work, you know, did my work thing, came home, did some studying on working on a couple projects as far as how to make more money financially, and, you know, just ready to kick this thing off with you and the rest of the family tonight, taking it one step at a time. What's good with you, though? What's been inspiring you, more or less? Let's go with that.
Well, I mean, I think it's the same thing, man. You know, I can get pissed off sometimes. And I think that is a portion of cursing myself, because it's like when I'm working hard to build an economic base or economic structure in my life, and I see my brothers who I love so much don't have anything and aren't striving to get anything, and, you know, just it's like, man, a lot of my family, man, their self-esteem is so low, their self-worth is null and void, and it cripples my spirit, brother, because it's like I see so much opportunity in life. And even if you don't have anything to do, just go donate some time. Just go make the yard look beautiful. Go make the community look better, and somebody's going to see it. And the more you do it, man, it's like your value your reputational value in the community, it goes up with people who really matter, whose influence is capable of opening doors. And so, man, bro, it's like, man, sometimes I feel like I curse myself because I want more for my brothers than they want for themselves, man. But that's kind of where my mind is at right now. Yeah, brother, that's where I'm at, man. You know, I don't know. I know you can feel that, man, because you just recently gone through different avenues and down different roads of your life. But you know, brother, I also realize that breaking that curse or feeling that way is in helping our brothers. And, you know, being understanding and loving them until they learn how to believe in themselves and acquire a skill and a mind state that will make them capable of going out and getting more, acquiring more, you know, seeing more opportunities where it's seemingly nothing to do, nowhere to go, you know, and no way to get anything. Peace and blessings, brother.
No, I understand what you're feeling, brother. I understand, most definitely. You know, we live in an instant gratification society, and a lot of individuals, if they can't feel it, they can't touch it, and it's not right this very minute, then it doesn't exist. So cleaning that yard, that's for someone else to see it maybe one day, well, it may never come. So why try? You know what I mean? And that, if you have that mentality, all you're going to do is just get exactly what you put into it, nothing. So I definitely understand what you're saying, brother. And it's like, you know, I know it's through my trials and tribulations trying to uplift certain individuals, it seemed like took advantage almost. Not taking advantage because they didn't take advantage of me. They took advantage of themselves because the support they were getting, it wasn't it crippled them more or less, like you were saying. They're already crippled, and it was crippling them because now they were striving to figure out ways to rely on it instead of striving to rely on themselves. So, you know, it's a battle. It's a double-edged sword. But we'll talk about more as we go on. We already got some people who want to come in. I don't know what's going on. The phone is off the hook. So let's kick off the show. If you don't mind, bro, why don't you introduce Pops Movement to everybody in case they've never been with us. Maybe it's their first time. Maybe they've been here 100 times. I don't know. But why don't you tell them a little bit about ourselves, who Pops Movement is, and what we got going on, and then we'll go straight to the callers.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Peace and blessings, love and service to all that is listening in, calling in, as well as checking us out via our Blog Talk Radio site. This is Pops Movement Radio. We are POPS, People Organizing Peace Systems, and the systems of peace that we strive to organize is the six steps to peace. And we created a system through these six steps to bring about PACE, as in preparing everyone as change evolves. We realize that a change is going to come every single day we awaken. But if we're not properly prepared to face these changes, then we're setting ourselves up for failure every step of the way. And so we have a suggested program that prepare those who are willing to go out and become better at being sociable, at being willing to help other people, at being willing to be helped by others along the way. And we do this through step one, form a bond. Form a bond based on how you can be valuable to another person's life, removing your own desires, wants, needs from the table. And finding that altruistic way, meaning one person helping another, expecting nothing in return type way, to open your heart to someone that you don't normally even talk to, a neighbor that you don't normally greet, a coworker that you never even sat down and ate lunch with, or someone that you pass by daily and have never taken the time to greet them and find out a little bit about them. When we form a bond in step one, we listen. We open up and we share some things, and we truly bond together so we can go into step two. Step two is identify problems that we see exist and we agree upon. In step two, we see that there are many problems that arise in our personal life in our relationships, in our communities, in our homes, in our workplaces. And many times we don't speak about these problems. But in step two, we look into these problems a little bit deeper with these people that we're bonding with. And as we begin to look at these problems, we then go into step three, express the importance of unity. You and I, T-Y, tie. You and I tie together. And when we express the importance of this unity, it means that there's an open show that we're willing to be open on, open-hearted, open-minded. And when you do this as an expression, there is no facade, there is no fakery, there is no BS, as they say. There's no game. It's real. And when you express the importance of unity, you're letting it be known that, you know, I need you. And I look forward to the opportunity of making your life, you know, a part of my life, family. As we unite in step three, we go into step four by getting into the solution. As we express the importance of unity, we realize now that we can go together into the spiritual principles that is foundational in any solution. If our problem is the violence in the community, well, what is the opposite of violence? Healing. A violent act at some point must be healed. So instead of us focusing on the problem, getting into the solution means that we're beginning to work what brings about healing. What principles bring about healing? Well, first of all, love, care, concern, compassion, a willingness to help, to mend certain things, to fix, to forgive, to walk a mile in someone's shoes empathetically. And as we begin to work these forms of solutions, we go into step five by building a strategy. This means that we begin to come together with others who think like us, work on the level that we work on, strive for the things that we strive for. And as we begin to get with these others, we build a roundtable discussion, or we build a think tank, or we fortify ourselves with a meeting of the mind on a regular basis so we can see how these solutions can be worked out by children to stop the violence, by elders to get back involved in the streets, in the communities, in the jails and prisons, and so forth and so on. And this is not just dealing with problems of violence, it's also dealing with problems of relationship issues, financial issues, issues with low self-worth, low self-esteem, issues of harassment, or, you know, anything that can come up. And so as we build these think tanks, we go into step six by taking on a responsibility. We have to remember that anything can happen to us today. Have we taken on a responsibility and been able to lead by example to the point where others can pick up where we left off if something happens to us tomorrow? Because too many times in poverty-stricken America, we've seen our leaders fall. And when they fall, everything they built falls with them, because no one was there to hold the structure up, to forever give their heart and soul to keeping up such a beautiful and wonderfully delivered systematic way. And so we want to keep these systematic ways and designs going and flowing, and taking on responsibility as a way of making sure that it's passed on in the best possible way that it can. Those are our six steps to peace. You can find out more about us at www.popsmovement.com, and also check out our projects that we're working with as far as the Peace Summit 2018. And you can check out that site in its entirety at www.peacesummit2018.org. All right, I'll pass this mic back over to our big-time producer and big-time moderator and the big-time big brother, You know what I mean? That's definitely bringing everything that we need, not only tonight, but on a consistent basis inside of this movement and outside. Peace and blessings, brother.
There you go again, trying to boost my ego. I'll take it.
That's my brother.
But, most definitely my brother. You sparked a thought inside of me that I will share after our callers. I'm kind of curious. From my hometown, Chicago, I see a 773 number. Let's bring them on in first, and then we'll kick off the show that way. 773-812, come on in and share who you are.
Hey, peace and blessings, my brothers. Peace and blessings, man. I'm greatly honored, Brother Hess, for you sending this invitation to me, man. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, my name is Ken, man. Ken, I see who diarrhea being Israel. You know, and I feel honored today, you know. And listen to the conversation, man. First of all, when I first called in, I heard that Gil Scott Heron, man. I ain't heard that in a long time. You know what I'm saying? That most definitely a motivator there. You know, keep us connected and keep us conscious of where our responsibilities are, you know. So, yeah, I'm one of the brothers, man, from Chicago, man. You know what I'm saying? And I feel honored to be able to share my, you know what I'm saying, my trials and struggles and my challenges, you know what I'm saying, and how I was able to overcome. So, you know, listen to some of the conversation, you know what I'm saying, in regards to how do we get our brothers, you know what I'm saying, to the point of understanding and recognizing their own self-worth, you know what I'm saying? You know, I think that was that's a challenge, not only to the extent that how we got to change, how we then bought into this this concept of how society has tried to define us. You know, we didn't bought into their narrative. So that's how some of the brothers in the community, they didn't bought into this narrative. This is where they start to act. That's their self-concept. This is who they define who they are. You know, so one thing that I've been trying to talk about in my book, I wrote a book, you know what I'm saying, after some of the things that I went through trying to share my experience and how I overcame my challenges. You know, I've done over 23 years in the penitentiary. You know, ain't nowhere in the world I should have been who I am right now today. You know what I'm saying? Especially if I were bought into the concept of how society tried to define me, prisoner, ex-convict, thug, you know, all those negative narratives that was trying to put me into a box. You know what I'm saying? Fortunately for me, I've been around some brothers, some old hats, told me that, hey, I'm better than that. You know what I'm saying? They even taught me some lessons that I'm bought into, you know, embrace. So I was able to overcome some of those challenges upon my release. So my thing is, some of the things that I do in Chicago and working with some of the brothers here is trying to teach other brothers how to overcome those internal and external factors that help in trying to mold the way we think. Excuse me, the way we think. You know what I'm saying? We got our own internal negative thoughts that we replay in our mind over and over and over and over. You know what I'm saying? Some of the things the way we saying to ourselves is that, no, they ain't going to let me do this. Society ain't going to let me do this. I can't get this job because I got this X on my back. You know, we can't buy into that narrative. So how do we motivate the brothers to start thinking differently? You know what I'm saying? As Brother Hess, the points of the organization, the POPS organization and movement, that's where we got to begin from. And we got to deal with the psychological damage that our brothers have suffered from. You know, that generational damage, you know, from racism, you know what I'm saying, to sexism, to economical marginalization, you know. All those things that kept us marginalized in society. So, well, I look forward to, man, you know, I don't want to go off into a long discussion, but I look forward to continuing the discussion, man. Like I said, I feel honored to be invited to join this discussion. You know?
Absolutely.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Most definite, brother, and we appreciate you too, man. You know, one of the things that you have that many other brothers who have PhDs and many other degrees that they say give them the qualifications to speak on high levels of science and psychology and philosophy, you have something greater than any of them, and that's experience. You know, that's the greatest teacher. And so, you know, I just want to ask you personally, brother, you know, when we bring about these Thursday shows, is based upon breaking the curse that, you know, that a lot of times we place upon ourselves. We tell ourselves we can't when really we can. We tell ourselves, you know, it's not there when really it's there. You know, and one of the things I learned when I was in the pen, I was given this video to watch by a Masonic brother who used to be out of Chicago, Brother Melvin Gay. And he gave me this video on The Secret. And it talked about the law of attraction, that if you can see it, if you can envision it, it can become so. But if you can't ever see it, you will never feel it. You will never, you know, touch what you cannot envision. And it's like it taught me to dream again. It taught me to write my dreams down. It taught me to take hope and grow that hope in the faith. And so in this series of Breaking the Curse on Thursday night, Brother Jan and myself, we strive to enable our listeners to see how what is seemingly hopeless is actually still hopeful. There's hope there. You know what I mean? There's so much there, but if we allow what was told to us from an early stage in life and developed in our mind, if we allow that to cripple us, then we won't ever begin to break that curse and stop telling ourselves what has already been told to us. And I wanted to ask you personally, brother, you know, you've gone through a lot of struggles in your life, and still today you struggle. We all struggle. We struggle together. You know, we struggle separately. You dig? We struggle in our own circles, and we struggle on a united front. But you're overcoming a whole lot. And if you was able to sum up in an accurate, brief, and concise manner on what you're going through right now in your life that is showing itself to be a struggle, you know, what would you say it is, and what is your own solution to that struggle?
One thing I continue to tell brothers, after being in the penitentiary so many years, man, you know what I'm saying, it's not like I have not been damaged. You know what I'm saying? You might can't tell it. Somebody else might can't see it. You know what I'm saying? And some people don't want to even, they won't even know my backstory until I tell them my backstory. You know what I'm saying? But internally, I'm damaged. I'm damaged like the average brother out here on the street. Even though I might be in a different level of success, you know what I'm saying? But I'm still struggling internally. You know what I'm saying? You know, so, yeah, I have my challenges daily. You know what I'm saying? You know, from work environment to home environment, from daily interaction with other people, you know? And I try not to let it show. You know what I'm saying? You know how you still had them little twerks of being institutionalized and certain people like, man, you know what I'm saying? You know, but I know how to still function. You know what I'm saying? I know how to still function. And the way I deal with it is because it's that self-talk. I talk to myself. You know what I'm saying? You know, I still suffer a phobia. I can't go downtown. I don't like crowds. You know, I can't get on a plane. You know, certain things that I can't do because I suffer from a phobia. You know, but I self-talk myself through it. You know? Sure. So that's how I'm able to overcome some of my challenges. You know what I'm saying? I don't let, you know, somebody told me, don't shoot yourself in the foot. You know what I'm saying? I got to let them tell me, we can't do this with you. No, we can't let you work here. Or, you know, you got to tell me no. Yeah. You know, I ain't gonna doubt myself or doubt my own ability. You know? So, yeah, I go through some, like I said, I go through the challenges from a daily basis, man. You know what I'm saying? From relationships to family, you know, interaction with other individuals. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to deal with my own psychosis, you know, which, you know, the best criticism is self-analysis. You know what I'm saying? We can internally look at ourselves and see our own shortcomings. To me, they ain't shortcomings. There's certain things I need to build on, strengthen. You know,
right.
So this is what I try to do daily. I'm working on myself. I'm a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as you said, we're continuously growing. You know, we're continuously learning. You know, so I don't never get comfortable or content to where I'm at. You know, I'm continuously striving. You know, like I said, no way in the world a person from my background should have a, you know, about to get a PhD. You know what I'm saying? Ain't no way in the world I should be sitting across the table talking to these, you know what I'm saying, executives, you know what I'm saying, from where I came from. You know? So I got to know, and I got to tell other people that it's possible. So that's one of the reasons why I wrote that book. You know, I do speaking engagement. I talk to a lot of brothers in the community and stuff. You know what I'm saying? But trying to maximize my voice, you know, people encourage, man, you need to tell your story like it's an anomaly. You know, it shouldn't be no anomaly. This should be something that's regularly on the basis. Brothers like us getting out of prison, or brothers in general, being able to achieve, you know, whatever their desires, dreams, goals, aspirations are. You know, it should have been attainable for each and everybody, but we know how society is set up. You know, society is set up based upon discrimination. Yeah, we all understand that, but we can't let that be a crutch. You know, we can't let that limit us from achieving the things that we want out of life. You know, we just got to learn how to overcome, how to deal with those challenges. To me, challenges are the gatekeepers of success. You know, if we don't overcome that challenge and get to the next level, we're going to be stuck. You know, we're going to be stuck. So, so back to your question is that I ain't trying to be stuck. You know, we said to stand still is to die. You know, and I can't just stay stuck in that type of mindset. You know, so I told him, no, you got to get on the plane, man. I said, okay, well, I'm going to take a short flight. I went to Atlanta. You know, that ain't nothing like a good hour. You know, I had my little issues, but I made it. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that allowed me, let me know that, hey, I can get on the plane. You know, I don't know about a long trip, 4 hours or nothing like that. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to be on Channel 7 News hog time somewhere. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, that's how I deal with my challenges. I go through them. I got to go through them. You know, because that will build my strength. You know?
That's right.
So that's how I deal with them, bro. Yeah. That's how I deal with them, man. I just got to go through my own suffering. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, my suffering, you know, make me who I am today. You know, the things, my trials, trouble, and tribulations, the things that I went through. You know,
that's love. Brother, we're going to bring you back in at the end of the hour so that way you can give information to the listening audience about your book, how they can find it, as well as how they can find you on the internet, as well as the Facebook, okay?
Got them, bro. Appreciate you.
That's love, family. That's love, brother. I turn it back over to you, Brother Young.
Most definitely, brother. I want to thank that brother very much for coming in and sharing that, because before I go to the next caller, it just reminded me of something I'm personally going through this week. I'm striving to get something called a Series 7 license. What a Series 7 license allows me to do is to be a financial advisor, if that's something I choose to be. You know, I've been in jail. I got 6 felonies, and, you know, a couple people I brought it to said, well, you can get a Series 7. They work at banks. Banks will never hire me. But I called FINRA, which is the company that sponsors, more or less, you to take the test. Not sponsors, but authorizes you to take a test. And they said, yes, you can have a felony. You can be denied, but you can have a felony. And then they basically said, for what I wanted to make happen, they said, well, maybe you should talk to the SEC as well. So I called the SEC. They said the same thing. You can be a felon. You can do this if that's something you want to. But I need a sponsor for me to be able to become authorized to be a financial advisor or anything of that nature. So the next question I asked, called FINRA back, and I asked them, well, what ways can I become a sponsor? Can I get a sponsor? Who can sponsor me? He's like, well, the only other way that you can do it is if you open your own business. So if I open my own business, basically I'm the owner of the company. I can sponsor myself to take the test. It said, yes, in that occasion, you could take the test. And what are the odds that I won't be accepted if I do pass the Series 7 test? He said, as a felon, he said, well, it really depends on the type of felony you have. If it's not financial and you didn't steal anything, you know, from, you know, cyberways or anything like that, 9 times out of 10, you're going to get approved. But there is the chance that you may not. And, you know, negatively, if I wanted to start thinking about it, I could have just said, okay, they said I can't, I have a chance of not getting it. but they didn't say I won't get it. And so it's that positive versus the negative. It's like, you know, I was reading the book by Napoleon Hill, Outwitting the Devil. That's the devil trying to tell me that I can't do it. That's the devil planting that seed, said, well, there's that possibility you may not do it. Why even take the chance? Why even risk it? Why even become educated in that way, that manner, where you can help people who just don't know any better and maybe don't trust those financial advisors that they go to the banks to, because 9 times out of 10, they don't know much. And I'm not going to lie, I've talked to enough of these individuals who do have their Series 7 and do have knowledge about it, and I know more than them. And I didn't go to school. I just learned the stuff by studying on my own and reading and researching and, you know, trial and error. So I definitely appreciate what that brother said about it doesn't matter where we come from. It's about what we're striving to accomplish, and it's being that example to people who just don't know any better. It's, you know, I got other examples, but this individual has been waiting for a little while, so I definitely want to bring him in real quick. Caller 870-882. Come on in. Please share who you are.
Hello.
Good evening, brother.
Hello. This is
how you
Man
doing, brother?
Greeting. Yes. I was just wanting to speak on as far as the self awareness, the community, as far as the what we need in this community for us to unite and come together in this community. I'm a strong, great man of God, and I just feel in my heart that, you know, my heart is so into the community that I've been in and out of jail, prison myself. I had a rough life growing up, and you know, and the man I am today is because of God. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you know, we got to have God in our community. If we don't have God in our community, ain't nothing will never work. And we got to have God, and then you got to have love in your community. You have to love God first and have God and put God first and then put him in the community. And then we got to have that love to have that love for our community and the love for the people in the community to be able to come together. And so, you know, we're going against each other. I've been seeing times of how all this violence is happening, and we're going against the wrong people when we should use our hearts and go into the political form. And you know, because you got to look at what the president and what the world is saying. Oh, tomorrow is going to be a blackout and this and that. See how they corrupt in the world. And they want us to struggle. They want us to go buy all this stuff so we cannot pay rent and do all this. And when we bicker and fight with each other, for no particular reason. We do these things in the community, not realizing that we're going against the wrong people. And I'm not saying when you look at around you, they want to see us locked down. They want to see us in prison. They want to see us into each other. They want to see us struggle in poverty. They seen that we was in poverty, so they want to continue to keep us in poverty. You know, they don't want to find a way out. They always try to. It's hard to get food stamps for people. It's hard for felons to get jobs. You know, the way the system. Once you get in the system, it's hard to get out. It's real tough. But we got to use our minds and fight and let our faith fight in the right direction, and use our wisdom and knowledge and understanding to fight back against the government, what the government is trying to do, instead of fighting each other, instead of want to shoot just because this person riding clean and want what they got and envy the next person. If you ain't got God in the community and you ain't got God in you and you ain't got that person straight with God, then ain't nothing going to matter to you, because it takes love and it takes unity and it takes God in order to bring a community together. And, you know, I do a lot of stuff in the community. My heart goes out to the children, the younger generation. And, you know, the other day, you know, I passed out, me and some of the brothers passed out some candy bags for the kids. We teamed up with a church, and what we did was, you know, they had bouncy houses. They jumped. It was just priceless how the kids how they had smiles on their face, and it was just priceless. And how they had some of the kids didn't have, they had got absent fathers and mothers just raising single kids, and you know what I mean. And it's like I could see through some of the kids. It's like I wanted to be a dad for all the ones that ain't got a dad in their life. And you know what I mean? And I felt that way. And I want to be an inspiration to every child and every person in this world. I know that I can't save the world, but I can do my share and my part by the God that is in me and that's in my heart. And that's all I got is love to give. So, you know, I know times and times that I struggle and I hurt, but it just makes me go harder for God. Makes me go harder what God wants me to do. So with that being said, you know, God is put an impact change in me, and I know what He can do for the community and for others. But we gotta let go and let God move in the direction. You see, a lot of times we lack of praying. We gotta pray. God, please use me in this community. God, please bring other elders in this community. Please bring. Please bring unity. We got to pray for it. Push pray until something happens. And you know, and a lot of people that are stuck on themselves, me, I. But it's got to be a we thing. We got to come together as a collective and come together with God. If we can't come with God, then we can't come at all. Because if we don't have a faith in God, then faith without works is nothing. So I just want to say that man, I love my community. I Mac Ritchie got love for everybody. I do prayer call every night at 9. I do it with my heart. I pray with everybody. You know, it's just so amazing what God is already doing through the prayer call. I say I've been doing prayer call for about a year now on Facebook. And I've seen what God has done in people's life. I'm talking about they've come forth on prayer call and tell them what God is, what prayer that God has done answered, what God has done. And they want to thank me, and I let them know that it's God. Now, I appreciate the thank you, but it's all God. It's the God that used me as a vessel. And, you know, and I feel that we just need to go hard in our communities, go hard or go home. And that's the way I feel. If it's in your heart to better your community and better the things around your community, then you got to put your whole heart into it, wholeheartedly. You got to put your heart on the front line, and you got to get with it. What's a soldier without a strong heart that want to put their heart on the line? See, a lot that go to Iraq and the ones that go to and fight for the country, you know what I mean? They put their heart on the line. And if we had that same mentality in our hearts, to put our whole heart on the line, then things will be different. And with that, I leave as I came.
Indeed, brother. Indeed. Thank you very much for coming in and sharing that. Real quick before we let you go, how can everybody join that prayer car? How can they reach you on Facebook? Just, you know, can spot your name. And that way we can get more people who are listening here joining you on House Calls.
My name is Mac Ritchie, MacRichie, and it comes on at 9 o'clock. On my time, I'm in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and some areas it'd be 10 o'clock on their time. They can come in. I do prayer. I open a broadcast up, let people speak from their heart. I pray with them on there. I mean, anything we can pray for. If you got sick in body, we'll pray for healing. Whatever it is. Whatever it is, I'm there to pray with them. I mean, they could be going through financial situation. I'm there to pray. Wherever God uses me during that prayer call, that's where I lead. That's where I go. I leave it in the spirit, and I allow God to let the anointing flow. And I've seen God just take over prayer call and show up and show out. So they hear it. Just don't miss out on the blessing, because God sure on prayer call got a blessing for you. So don't miss out on it.
Most definitely, brother, most definitely. Thank you very much for coming in. Definitely be trying to tune in tonight on that prayer car. Just something I want to share real quick in regards to, you know, how we build up our communities and how God can work in our communities if we allow him to. I'm not sure how many of the listeners watch NFL football. Some of them may be a little bit mad, but that's neither here nor there. The reason I'm bringing this up is Deshaun Watson tore his ACL. If anybody doesn't know what that means, an ACL is your anterior cruciate ligament. It's in his knee. He's going to require surgery, and he's going to be out the rest of the year. Now, this individual started on the bench this year, and he's a very inspirational brother. I've been watching him since he was a kid, more or less, especially in college. He went to Clemson, and he just took over the entire league. Very humble individual. Now, the moral of the story is this. His first game check was only $27,000. Now, he was signed for a lot more. He was signed for millions, but his first game check was worth $27,000. He's a Houston Texan, which we all know the hurricane that hit Houston. He gave his first game check to some of the workers within the organization that were, you know, impoverished and going through some struggles. So he presented them with some money. Now, this same individual, Deshaun Watson, if anybody really knows his story, was also blessed by an individual who was a football player. You know, I remember way back when I was a kid, I remember Warwick Dunn, who played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And Warwick Dunn has a foundation. And what they do in this foundation is they find single mothers who have multiple children and are struggling at that time. What Warwick Dunn does for every single family is he buys a house for them so that they can live in there absolutely for free. They pay the taxes, he buys the house or builds it, whatever the case may be. Now, Deshaun Watson was one of those children who had, was I think it was a family of six or seven with a single mother struggling to help them survive, who was blessed by Warwick Dunn's foundation. So what I'm striving to say is this individual became a millionaire playing football, Warwick Dunn, then is reciprocating back into the community and showing them that someone does care, someone wants to be there for them, and is willing to provide absolutely free without nothing in return. Same thing we always say, it's an act of altruism here at Pops Movement, and basically blesses them. And look at the reciprocation. This individual, Deshaun Watson, grew up with that understanding, that humble love that he has in his heart for his community that was passed along through Warwick Dunn, and now he's doing the same thing in his community where he resides now. Those acts of kindness, those acts of love, and those acts of, you know, God-inspired motivation is what we need. It's more individuals like that. Kind of the reason that I go through what I go through when it comes to the financial aspect is because I'm striving to use what God's given me so that I can be a financial backing to so many different things that Pops Movement A wants to do, I want to do, or maybe someone else wants to do. We just need more individuals to find and hone into the gifts, which in this case is football. In your case, it may be something else, and then reciprocate it back into the community. Mac Ritchie loves to do the prayer call. He loves to pray with people. He loves to be out there. That's what he does. The brother, Ken, I can't say the rest of the name, but he's out there. He's studying. He's trying to be the example. He's trying to, you know, drop that same knowledge that was given to him while he was incarcerated and pass it on to the youngsters before they get to that stage. And he's obviously got his PhD. I commend that brother. One of my best friends is on his way to getting a PhD in psychology. Also a felon. Also through all those struggles. So it goes on and on, man. And that's kind of what I'm striving to say. We are nearing the end of the show. If anybody else wants to come in and press one, tell us what you're thinking about. It's a question for other brothers that are on here. Tell us what you're thinking about. But, you know, since we're closing up, Brother Hest, anything you want to add, anything you want to ask, come on in, man. Tell us what you're thinking.
Yeah, peace and blessings, love and service. I did want to see if Brother Ken was still on so he could come in and tell us about his book and share with us how the listening audience can, you know, order that book and how they can reach out to him through social media as well as any other sites that he may be a part of.
Most definitely, bro. Appreciate you. Hey, so, you know, name of my book is Breaking Through, Winning Against the Odds. You know what I'm saying? I was motivated to write this book. You know what I'm saying? Like I say, you know what I'm saying? Try to maximize my outreach to the brothers, man. You know what I'm saying? Letting them know how I done transcended from, you know what I'm saying, that negative mentality to something positive. You know, so they can order the book through Amazon. It's on Amazon, Breaking Through, Winning Against the Odds, Ken L. Ross. You know, I got a couple sites on Facebook. You know, my main page, Ken Nasihudavi Ross. Then I got another site called Strong Black Positive Fathers, where I highlight some of the positive things that fathers do. So that's one of the things that I do with the organization that I work for. I got a male engagement program. You know, I meet with the fathers, you know what I'm saying, at least once a month. You know, we have some interactive discussions, man. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, the thing that we try to do is try to challenge that mindset. You know what I'm saying? Some of the concepts and things that people built on over the years, that negative mentality. You know what I'm saying? In order to try to change how people act, we got to change how they think. You know what I'm saying? So that's my main focus when I deal with the brothers in the community, trying to change how they think. You know what I'm saying? Then I got another page out there on Facebook called Breakthrough Win Against the Odds. That's my business page. That's my book page. You know what I'm saying? I'm also working on my second book. It's called Breaking Through, Changing the Narrative, which I was speaking on some things earlier, how we got to change the narrative of the story that's being told to us. You know, we bind into that story that's being put out there through society. You know, all the negative images that we see on TV, in the news media, on the movies, the music. You know what I'm saying? We adopting all of that. You know what I'm saying? And that's having a negative impact on our self-concept, who we see ourselves as. You know what I'm saying? This being transcended down there to the next generation, our younger generation, they starting to adopt this. You know what I'm saying? So we got to challenge that. We got to change that narrative. You know what I'm saying? We got to rewrite that story. So what story did we got to rewrite? You know, what is it? You know what I'm saying? As Brother Hess was talking about the concept of pops, you know, we got to embrace that. You know what I'm saying? That's a movement. You know what I'm saying? How society is, man, you know, they so targeted on these movements. You know what I'm saying? And they target our leadership because they know once they target the leadership, they kill the leadership, they hope the movement to die. One of the things that I learned while I was in incarceration, the way, you know, society think, you know what I'm saying, the powers to be think, they think like in terms of 2 + 2 = 4. You know what I'm saying? So one thing I learned how to do is think outside that box. 2 + 2 can be whatever we want that 2 + 2 to be. You know what I'm saying? How we want our life to turn out. You know, we ain't got to follow the norm. We ain't got to stay within that box. You know, we got to do some new math. You know what I'm saying? So this is how we got to think, man. You know what I'm saying? This is how we got to move. This is what we got to try to teach our young children as well. You know what I'm saying? Think outside that box, man. You can be whatever you want to be in life, man. You know what I'm saying? But we got to start that from somewhere. You know, we got to build upon that. You know what I'm saying? And like I said, I appreciate the opportunity. I feel honored to be a part of this. You know what I'm saying? Be a share of what's going on, some things that we're doing in Chicago, you know, with the Big Homies Club. You know what I'm saying? You know, the brothers, they spreading this movement all around, you know? And the brothers, they embracing it because we looking for something. The brothers out here, they looking for this leadership. They looking for something. They looking for something to buy into, you know? They want to do better. But the only way they can do better is someone show them how to do better. You know, they need a new vision. So we got to get it to them. We got to get it to them. We got to share it to them. The only way we can do that, man, like I said, I appreciate the opportunity to give me this platform. You know, thank you, bro. I appreciate you. Much love and respect.
Much love. You know, share your enlightenment here each Thursday night with us on Breaking the Curse. You always have a opening here, brother. And also we speak about peace summits on Sunday nights, you know what I mean? And that platform is also available. And, you know, brother, man, don't never forget, you know, just like we said, bro, you got an experience and you got a path out that nobody else has, and nobody else to be able to come out of the darkness unless it's through your story, your experience, your struggle, and how you strive in that struggle right now. You dig? So it's like, bro, don't stop giving it, man. You know, and even when sometimes, man, I feel you, sometimes we don't even know what to say. You know what I mean? And sometimes people be looking to say something, we be like, man, I don't even know what to say, and it's like, man, I just be going to praying, man, because the people need to hear something, and so I just pray, and I say, man, God, man, speak through me, man, just speak through me right now, whatever it is, you know, these people need to hear, and then I just open up my mouth, and man, things go to flowing out of people, be like, oh, my God, you know what I mean, brother, I've never heard anyone speak that eloquently or that prolifically or that you know what I'm saying? And my head don't get bigger. It gets smaller because I know that it's God speaking through me. It wasn't me. You feel me?
Right.
So, brother, keep letting them speak through you, man. We love you very much, brother, and you got this platform available to you, okay?
Yes, sir.
That's love. That's love. Okay, with that being said, family, I will be having our brother Ken's information out on Facebook right after this show, as well as I will be having brother Mac Ritchie out of Arkansas's information on our Facebook page, the Pops Movement group page, Pops Movement community like page, as well as my own personal page. So y'all be looking out for that. You know, man, my last closing statement is this right here. You know, we all dealing with issues right now in our life today. There's always going to be tests that's going to come. There's always going to be issues. There's always going to be backbiting going on around. There's always going to be gossiping. There's always going to be, you know, things like Brother Ken said, that voice in our head. You know, things like Brother Mac Richards said, we're going to have lack of faith, but we got to tap into these sources and resources that continue to nurture us. And like the brother said, self-taught. Man, I can remember my mentor, man, he used to have this saying on the wall, be careful, be careful. I can't quite remember. It said something to the point of be careful. Watch what you say to yourself before you talk yourself into big regrets. And that was the basis of what it's saying. You got to speak positive to yourself. You got to speak affirmations. You got to speak motivation. You got to speak inspiration within your mind. Because if not, you're going to begin to speak doubts, fears.
Mm-hmm.
You dig? We can't feed off of that. That's nothing to eat. That's nothing to digest. That's nothing to spiritually grow and develop, mature on. See, we got to tap into something that is going to heal, to build, to give us the foundation that is required for us to be able to have something to establish upon. And so, family, you got it inside of you. Utilize it. And sometimes they say the only way you keep what you have is by giving it away. So don't be stingy with it. As you tell yourself these things, find somebody else to tell this stuff to. Find somebody else to give this inspiration to. Find somebody else to motivate outside self. Don't be selfish and one-sided with it. It ain't just for you. It was given to you so you can give it away. And so, family, let's begin to continue to use it and never lose it, man. I love y'all so much, man. I love you, Brother Yon. I love you, Brother Ken, Brother Matt. You know what I mean? And all the listening audience, y'all know what it is, man. They say, man, one of the greatest commands that we could ever be given, man, is to love, you know, our sisters and brothers, that we love ourselves, you know, want for them what we want for ourselves, and let's continue to push in that manner, man. Peace and blessings, love and service.
Most definitely, brother. Well, I would love to close the show out, but I can't. We still got callers. Number 470, they popped in and out a couple times, but I'm going to bring in 870 just in case 470 wants to come back in. 870-882, come on in.
Yeah, this is Mac Ritchie again. I just want to elaborate and touch up on some more things, man. One thing about God, God don't stop. He steady flow through people. And when God is trying to get something out, he likes to get it out.
Well, yeah, you know, it goes to
that. Can everybody hear me? Hello?
Yes, brother, we can hear you. Come on. I'm sorry, we had some background noise.
You know, when God is on a person's heart and he tries to get it all up. But another thing that I want to point out, you know, that as individuals, you know, sometimes a lot of people allow pride to get them in the way of what God has got for them. And there's some that's in the world that wants to do stuff in the community, but they got selfish reason and they sell the data. That they won't let go and they sell to allow God to use them in the community. And then you got ones that do stuff in the community, but they in it for the wrong reason. And that's why things get manipulated. But if you come with the full force of wholeheartedly, then you don't got time for games. You ain't got time for stupidity. You about your Father's business. It means that you're about God's business. And once you come and you establish that with your community, the community gonna love you back just like you love the community. But first, you gotta love God and allow God to work through you as a vessel to love the community so the community will love you back. And, you know, and I want to make this a statement because God want everything that I pray for, that I pray for, the people I pray for, and what God does for me. And when I pray for stuff, God answers it. God's been answering it left and right. I'm talking about I've been pouring it out to God, and God's just been answering everything. But I want you brothers to know that whatever you're going through, whatever you heard it from, whatever pain, whatever suffering you're going through, you got to give it to God. You can't, you know, sometimes we can call somebody. Maybe they can't answer. Maybe you've been talking to a brother. Maybe you can't get to them. There go a sign right there that you need to call on God, because God is going to give you that best answer. God's going to give you that best reaction. God's going to give you that best feeling in his spirit. It's nothing like his spirit to be lost in. It's the best high you can ever have. You know what I mean? When I pray and I get under the anointing and God uses me, I mean, I feel better. I feel the comfort in that than I feel in the person. One thing I know, a brother can let you down, or a homie can let you down, or family can let you down, but God is not going to let you down. And so when we realize that, we have that personal relationship with God, that nothing can tear us apart from God. No matter what comes our way to try to destroy us or attack us, God, you just got to call on down, call on God. Whenever the situation or whatever is in your life, whatever struggle, whatever it is, got to call on that God. And I know that we all have our time of life that we're struggling, that we're going through, whatever we're going through. But I've learned I got to let go and I got to let God. For every situation I see it coming, before it comes, I go ahead and give it to God right then. And then once you get yourself like that, then you can go out to the community and you can take God with you. Because once you're in the spirit, everywhere you go, God is going, because he's in you. You walk in him. You walk in his spirit. You walk in his light. And then when the kids see that, they look at you, and they say, well, I want to be like him when I grow up. I want to be like him. He's a good man. He's a good, righteous man. And you know, because there's kids that look up to you. And that's the heart that I want to have for the kids that have their heart. I want to be like him. I want to be better than him. He's a good man. All I see is righteous in him. All I see is the leadership qualities. That's all I see. And that's what they do. They follow in behind you. And that's what leaders bring the young generation followers behind you to become leaders. And how I know that, because I was once a follower to become a leader, the leader I am today. And I just leave you with that. Leave as I came.
Appreciate that, brother. We definitely do appreciate that. We love you too, you know, for all that you're doing in the community and, you know, in general sense. Let's go to real quickly, call 470-263. Come on in, share who you are.
Blessings to everyone who's listening to this. My name is Michael Jackson, and I attended the call a long time ago because I had it on my heart. Also, I know Hess. How you doing, Hess? And everyone that's listening, as I said, blessing to everyone. I just got on the call and started listening to a couple of callers, and I do agree with you. I feel like that everyone here for a reason. And I heard an expression that, and we all say that same expression sometimes, if I knew then what I know now. But when we here now, you can't change the past. You can just try to make the future better. So what we could do, we could try to reach out and teach the younger generation, teach the youth what we know now, and give them the wisdom that we didn't know as growing up. And right now I'm running for Atlanta City Council for District 12, and I'm just trying to make a difference. Like I was years ago, I was behind bars, confused, and a lot of things was going on in my life, and I felt it led me to Jesus. Even though my mom, growing up, she was a single mother, she taught us, or she took us to church a lot, and I always told us about Jesus. But I feel like we have to have that own personal relationship with Jesus, even though some people may sow that seed in us to know about Jesus. We have to have that own personal relationship with Jesus. But through my trial and tribulation, I felt that he was always there for me. And no matter who listening, I just want to let everyone know that no matter what you're going through, God could make a way. that your purpose will not be in vain, that your purpose will be to help other people. And I just like what everyone's doing in which positivity and speaking positivity, because we got to have positivity in the world. We got, because there's so much negativity that goes on in the world, that it got to be a light. And the darkness is always a light, and we could be that light that the people looking for, that's lost within the world. And I don't want to take up too much of everyone's time, but if you're in Atlanta, ever be in Atlanta, just I feel like I'm a win, like I'm predicting the win. But Hillary, she will predict the win against Trump, but she lost. But I'm campaigning and I'm trusting God first of all. And if you ever in Atlanta, let's work together and try to make a difference, make a real difference, because there's so much going on, so much negativity going on that the world needs positivity. And I'm down with positive people, so let's try to make a difference.
Absolutely. Peace and blessings, man. Hey, brother, can you tell everybody your name and how they can get in contact with you, as well as your campaign site, big brother?
Yeah, my name is Michael Jackson. I'm gonna give y'all my personal number. My personal number is 470-263-0483. That's 470-263-0483. You can reach me on Facebook at Mike Jackson, MikeJacksoN, or you can reach me on Instagram at @forreal_I_know. And so just get in touch with me. Let's work together. We gotta work together. One man can't do it alone. Even though we were born in the world alone, God didn't place us in this world to be alone. I feel like all of us need to work together. We got to have unity in order for us to succeed. It's like the expression that Martin Luther King Jr. said, that we got to stand up as brothers for real. We can stand up together as brothers or fall together as fools, but we got to stand up together as brothers and be together for real. And I'm here for anybody with positivity. Let's work together for real and try to find a way. Because I know it's a way, as long as we positive, as long as we put God first, as long as we work together, I know it's a way that we could make things better.
Hello. Hello. Hey, man, I appreciate you calling in, Michael Jackson, man, baby. You always been an inspiration to me, bro. When I first met you back in the 90s, man, to see the progress that you made in life, the book that you've written, I'm also put that information up for all of our listening audience tonight, along with Brother Ken and Brother Mac Richards. So y'all be looking forward to that on Pops Movement site and our group page. So, man, I love you very much, Mike, man. You already know what the business is, and I'll be calling you real soon, brother.
I love you too, man.
All right, Sam. Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Peace and blessings to you as well.
Well, that's a good way to end the show. So I appreciate everybody coming in. We got some experiences. It seems, you know, consensus tonight is, how do you break the curse? Just go and break it. You know what I mean? We got individuals who came in here. You know, we've been from the bottom and then working way to the top. We got a PhD. We got somebody coming in over here trying to run for city council. We got a brother who started his own prayer call, trying to bring more people to God. The consensus I heard is you got to have a little God in you. I'm not going to say which God you want to serve, but God in general, you know, God stands for good orderly direction. As far as myself, you know, I'm still breaking my curse. You know, I'm still working on it. It's a day by day, you know, decision by decision, moment by moment process for me. You know, I'm not exactly where I want to be, but I'm very content in where I'm at. Being content to where you're at today is very important to your growth, in the sense that where you're striving to go. You know, a lot of people try to look too far to the future and forget that they're still living in the present. You know, what are you doing today to get to that future? You can't sit there and dwell on what you did. What are you doing? And that's one of the things that I notice about our people. A lot of, you know, the people that I know, they just get stagnant in their, you know, in their growth of life and the growth of themselves. You know, I pride myself on striving to read and study different things and being, you know, educated on multiple platforms. Why? Because not because I'm trying to be perfect or master all the information that the world has to offer. What I'm striving to do is find what works best for me. And, you know, I may learn a philosophical sense over here. I might learn the mathematical sense over here or scientific sense over here and be able to adopt it in something that I'm working on currently. And that's why I do what I do. You know, it is God who brought me to where I am today. You know, I did decide to learn a little bit more about God because I didn't grow up with him, and I'm very thankful that I did. And that was just one day, one step, one moment at a time kind of procedure. Definitely love everybody who came on the line today. Brother Hess, I definitely love you, my big brother as well, man. Always inspiring me and always pushing me to do better. And, you know, let's close up the show the right way. I'm going to bring it back with a little Gil Scott Heron. For those of you who don't know, I didn't know either. So we're going to do Pieces of a Man. Have a good night, everybody.
Jagged jigsaw pieces tossed about the room. I saw my grandma sleeping with her old straw broom. She didn't know what she was doing. She could hardly understand. Yeah. She was really sweeping up pieces of a man. I saw my daddy meet the mailman. And I heard the mailman say, now don't you take this letter too hard now, Jimmy. Leave it off nine others today. But he didn't know what he was saying. He could hardly understand. He was really sleeping up pieces of a man. I saw the thunder, heard the lightning, and felt the burden of his shame. And for some unknown reason, never turned my way. Pieces of that letter tossed about the room. And now I hear the sound of sirens come knifing through the gloom. They don't know what they are doing. They could hardly understand. They're only arresting pieces of a man. Saw him go to pieces. I saw him go to pieces. He was always such a good man. He was always such a good man. Yeah, saw him go to pieces. I